إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide him. And I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. بإذن الله تعالى, with permission from Allah, we would like to continue our discussion which we started in the previous lecture concerning marital rights in Islam, الحقوق الزوجية, the rights of husband and wife in Islam as has been prescribed and demonstrated and clarified in general and in detail in the text of Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned in the first lecture in this series that we found in researching the Islamic system of marriage three main points. Number one, that the Islamic system of marriage is a divine system, yani the basis of the Islamic system of marriage is based on revelation. It's not based on the customs of any particular society, the opinions of the leaders of a group or people or nation, but in fact, the guidelines, the rules, the rights and obligations have been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and clarified and demonstrated by His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, we said that in this divine system of marriage, there are clearly defined rights and obligations for the husband as well as for the wife. These rights and obligations cannot be changed by anyone, because they have been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly and finally, we said that the way to successful marriage, the way for one to achieve a successful marriage, that is the marriage in which the people will be happy in this world and they will achieve the reward of Allah in the next life, is by the fulfillment of those rights that have been described or prescribed or legislated in the Quran and Sunnah. So it is essential that we know this system well, that we understand what are the rights of the husband as well as the rights of the wife and the obligations of each, so that we might make a sincere intention to fulfill each other's rights and to fulfill our obligations to one another in order to achieve real, true success. We mentioned last week one of the rights of the woman, and that is the right of al-mahr, or the free marriage gift. And today, inshallah, we would like to mention the remaining, or as much as possible, of those rights which have been prescribed, if not all of them, at least some of those rights which have been prescribed for the woman in Islam, as found in the Quran and Sunnah. The second of the rights of the woman is an-nafaqah, that is, maintenance, financial maintenance. It is the right of the woman in Islam when she marries that she be maintained completely by her husband. She doesn't have any obligation or responsibility to maintain herself or to take care of herself, but it is absolutely the responsibility of the man to take care of this maintenance. And this maintenance includes food and drink. It also includes clothing, as well as every other thing that she might need in order to maintain herself in this worldly life, to take care of her physical needs, the strength of her body, and whatever the man provides for his wife as well, his children, should be from that which is halal. Yani the maintenance that the man provides for his wife, it should be from halal, lawful sources, about which there is no doubt or question about its legality. It shouldn't be from doubtful sources or known illegal sources. Yani the woman has a right to be maintained from lawful wealth. And this right of maintenance has been proven both by the Qur'an and Sunnah, and as well by consensus or ijma' of the Muslim scholars. As for the Qur'an, we might mention the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Talaq, Talaq, Surah chapter 65 verse 7, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ, that the one who has wealth should give from that wealth. وَمَنْ قَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهِ, and whoever their wealth has been restricted somewhat, they should spend from whatever Allah has given them. And whoever has plenty should spend from that plenty, and whoever has little should spend from what Allah has given them. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا فَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ أُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Allah doesn't make anyone responsible except according to what Allah has given them, and Allah will make after difficulty ease. Allah will make for everyone after difficulty ease. Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 233, وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَقِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ لَا تُكَلِّفْ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا مَا وُسَعَهَا. That the one to whom the child was born, meaning the father of the child, is responsible to provide maintenance or sustenance for the women, the mothers of his children, as well as clothing for the mothers of his children, according to that which is reasonable or that which is known in the society that they are living in. Allah doesn't make any soul responsible except according to their ability, according to that which Allah has made them able to do. Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, in his tafsir, says concerning this ayah that the parent, the father, al-walid, that he is the father of the child, is responsible for maintenance of the mothers, as well as clothing them in a reasonable way. That means according to the custom of the people of their status in their society. يعني بالمعروف means according to the status or the custom of the people of that level in that society, he is responsible to maintain those mothers who bear children for him accordingly, without excess or extravagance, and without being miserly or cheap or holding back, according to his ability. If he is in ease and he has plenty, or he has a fair amount, or he has little, according to his ability. Here the meaning that he should provide for them their sustenance and clothing and so on. It means that according to the custom of the people of that time, for the people of that level, not going to the extreme, nor holding back, that man should maintain her With this in mind, and also the second consideration is according to his ability. If he has plenty, then plenty. If he has little, then little. And so on. As for in the Sunnah, it has been reported by Imam Ahmed and Ibn Majah and others besides them from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the authority of Hakim ibn Muawiyah al-Qushayri from his father radiyallahu anhu that he said, Ya Rasulullah, ما حق زوجة أحدنا عليه. What is the right of one of our wives upon us? What is the right of someone's wife over him? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أن يطعمها إذا طعم ويقصوها إذا اكتسى ولا يضرب الوجه ولا تكبح ولا يحجر إلا في البيت. Here in this hadith, the point that we want to stress here is concerning maintenance, the right of the woman of maintenance. But he also mentioned other rights of the woman here. The first of them, he said, that he should feed her if he is fed. Yani, when he eats, he should feed her likewise, similarly. And he should clothe her when he clothes himself. If he has clothing, in similar fashion, he should clothe his wife. This is in reference to maintenance, and this is general. Yani, food and clothing is the general maintenance that a person requires in this world. And also he said, وَلَا يَضْرِبْ الْوَجْهِ, that he should not strike her on her face. Though a man has a right to punish his wife for the purpose of correcting her, but if it came to that point, he should not hit her in the face. وَلَا يُكَبِّحْ. That means, I mean, the scholars differed concerning the meaning of la yukabbih. Some of them said that the meaning is that he shouldn't say, kabbah Allah wajha fulan. That you shouldn't say, may Allah make someone, such and such person's face ugly. You shouldn't say such. Some of the other scholars said that the meaning here is that you shouldn't say that the person is ugly. Because Allah is the one who has formed the human being, and Allah has created or has formed every human being when He created them in the best form. So no one should say about someone, and specifically here, the man shouldn't say to his wife that she is ugly. Some of the other scholars said that he shouldn't say to her things that are bad. Yeah, and he shouldn't curse her or speak harshly to her, or say, as mentioned by one of the earlier opinions, he shouldn't say, may Allah make her ugly. Another opinion, لا تكبح, means he shouldn't make her face be ugly by hitting her. He shouldn't beat her in the face and distort her image, the way that Allah has created her. Nor, according to the last opinion, nor should he attribute to her actions or her sayings, whatever she says and does, he shouldn't say that this action is ugly, this speech is ugly. Yani, these are the opinions of the various scholars, from the scholars of hadith when they explained this particular saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And finally he said that he shouldn't abandon her, la yahjar illa fil bayt. He shouldn't abandon her or separate from her except within the house. Yani, he shouldn't go to another house and leave her there when he's angry with her or something, nor should he send her away to another place. When he separates from her in order to correct her actions, it should be within the house. As some of the scholars said, that he should only separate from her in the bed. Yeah, and he shouldn't sleep with her. If he finds her acting up in a way that requires correction or punishment, then he shouldn't sleep in the same bed with her. Or if he sleeps in the same bed with her, he should turn his back to her. Also in the hadith of Amr ibn al-Ahwas radiyallahu anhu, as reported in the Sunan ibn Majah, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا وَحَقُّهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَحْسِنُوا إِلَيْهِنَّ فِي كِسْوَتِهِنَّ وَتَعَامِهِنَّ. isn't it a fact that their right, meaning the right of the women over you, the men, is that you should be good to them, treat them well in reference to their clothing and their food. Yeah, and feed them well and clothe them well. And in another hadith, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, as reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, it is said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it is reported by Aisha radiallahu anha, that Hind, the daughter of Utbah radiallahu anha, she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, inna Aba Sufyan rajulun shahih. That verily Abu Sufyan, her husband, he is a man who, يعني, doesn't give much. يعني, he's tight, or يعني, he didn't like to spend much. He used to hold his money tightly. وَلَيْسَ يُتْعِينِ أَوْ يُعَتِينِ مَا يَكْفِينِ وَوَالِدِي وَوَلَدِي. He didn't used to give me that which is sufficient for me and my child, إِلَّا مَا أَخَذْتُ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ لَا يَعْلَمُ. And except what she used to take from him, while he didn't know. Since he didn't provide for her sufficiently, she used to take from his wealth without him knowing about it. And the Prophet ﷺ confirmed her action and gave her permission. And this is a general rule for the women in that kind of situation, since it is a right of the woman to be maintained. If her husband doesn't maintain her, then she has a right to take from his wealth without his knowledge that which is sufficient to take care of her needs. Because this is her right. The Prophet ﷺ said, خُذِي مَا يَكْفِيكِ وَوَلَدِكِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Take that which is sufficient for you and your child, يعني according to that which is reasonable. So this is also confirmation of the fact that the woman in marriage has a right to maintenance, the basic necessities of life, and if the husband doesn't give it to her, then she might take, يعني, the minimum amount that is sufficient to take care of herself and her children. The third right of the woman in marriage, and not necessarily in this order, but the third right is that her husband should live with her in their marital life in a good way. He should treat her kindly. And this is based on the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And live with them in a good way, honorably, respectfully. فَإِن كَرِحْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah first ordered the man that he should have an honorable and respectful and good relationship with his wife in marriage. For verily, if you, the men, find something in them that you dislike, then perhaps you dislike a thing while Allah has placed in it much good. Yani Allah is making us to know here that this is the human being, not only the woman, but in general, but especially in marriage, is making us to know that if there's something in your wife that is displeasing to you, then know also that Allah has placed in her much good in addition to that which is displeasing to you. So the things should be in balance. And if there's something that you're not pleased with, remember that there are also characteristics and qualities in that woman that is pleasing to you, that Allah called khayran kathira. يعني not a little good, but plenty of good. Sometimes the human being يعني has the inclination to recognize in others that which is defective, the shortcomings, but not to recognize their good qualities. So here, in this ayah, we are made to know that things should be put in balance, but if you see something defective, then also know that there is something good. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his tafsir of this ayah says that عَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that live with them honorably or respectfully or in a good way, it means that you should speak to them well, in a respectful and good way. And you should also act towards them in a good way. And also, you should dress in a good way. And you should present yourself to your wife in a good way, according to your ability. Just as you love that the woman should treat you nicely and speak to you nicely and dress in an appealing way for you, then so also you're expected to do the same for her. And this is the meaning of the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 228, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that the women have similar rights to those obligations which are upon her, yani the rights of her husband. Just as he has rights over her, she also have rights over him. So just as you expect from her to treat you in a nice way and speak to you in a respectful way and appear before you in an attractive way, you should also yani reciprocate. It's reciprocal. The marriage relationship is a reciprocal relationship from both sides. Both parties are supposed to give to the other side. Part of good marital relations is that the man should try to make himself pleasing according to the law and according to the Islamic way and beloved to his wife. He should call her by the most beloved names to her. And in those names that she loved to be called by, he should call her by such. And he should honor her with those things that are pleasing to her. And from amongst those things that he may honor her with is that he would honor her family by praising them in front of her, speaking well of her family, not speaking bad of her family. Your parents are ignorant, your parents are cheap, your parents have bad behavior. No. He honors his wife by speaking well of her family in front of her, not speaking bad in front of her, disrespecting her family or her relatives. And also, by exchanging visits with her family and inviting them on occasions when they invite others. Also, from living good and having respect and having good marriage relations with one wife, is that the man should listen to the woman when she has something to say, and he should respect her opinion. Some men think that since they are the authority, they don't want to hear what women have to say. If she expressed an opinion about something, he should listen to her. And he should have respect for her opinion. Not say, that's stupid. What are you talking about? You're ignorant. What kind of idea do you have? What suggestion are you making? But he should have respect for her opinion, even if he may feel that that opinion is not a good opinion, but still he should show respect for her when she expresses her opinion, and he should consult with her when there are matters to be consulted about, especially when she offers a good opinion. And this might be understood from the incident that took place in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the opinion of Salama radiallahu anha on the day of Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And that opinion which he took from her was the cause of the Muslims being saved from falling into sin, and they were also saved from the punishment of conflicting with or opposing the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he told the people to sacrifice their animals and shave their heads, though they didn't perform the Umrah that they had entered the state of Ihram for. When they were stopped from entering Makkah, and the treaty was made that they should come back, go back to Medina without making Umrah, without entering Mecca, and then in the following year they would come again, and the pagans would go outside of Mecca for a few days and allow them to perform the Umrah, then they had to get out of the state of Ihram. The Prophet ﷺ told them to slaughter your animals and shave your heads, but nobody obeyed him. He told them another time and no one obeyed him. And when he told them finally, with no reaction or no response, his wife Salama, she was the one who came with an idea and an opinion, which was a good opinion, and it saved the Muslims from destruction. She told him, O Messenger of Allah, why don't you go out in front of the people and sacrifice your animal and shave your head in front of them, and they will follow you. And so the Prophet ﷺ followed her opinion, and when he did that, all of the people followed him. So this is an example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking the opinion of one of his wives. And who are we not to listen to our wives when our example is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Also, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported in the Sunan al-Tirmidhi on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, in which she said that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خيركم خيركم لأهله, that the best of you are those who are best to their family. وأنا خيركم لأهلي, and I am the best of you to my family. The Prophet ﷺ gave us a standard here for khayriya. What is the best of people? The best of people are those who are best to their family. And he, as our example, said, "Wa ana khayrukum li ahli," and I am the best of you to my family. And if you look at how the Prophet ﷺ treated his wives, you will see that he was the best of husbands to a wife. And he is our example. And he said also, that's the same standard that is for us. The best of you is the one who is best to his family. Some of the scholars said that ahli here, يعني خيركم خيركم لأهلي, it means their children or their relatives, and some said it means their wives. And in any case, no doubt it is definitely applicable to the wives, although it may also include the rest of the family. يعني that the best of you are those who are best to your wives and your children and your family. And this is, يعني, he described the best of people as those who are best to their family, because being good to one's family is a sign of good character and good conduct. And this good conduct and good character is the standard that measures one's iman and one's nearness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best of us in character. He always acted in a good way. He was smiling. He used to entertain his family and play with them. He was very kind to them and used to spend on them according to his ability from what he had. He used to even make jokes with them. And it is reported even that once on one occasion that he was making a race with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, in which she beat him in the race, and in later years he raced her again and he beat her. And he said, "This one is for that one. Yani, the time you beat me, now this time I have beaten you." Which shows that the Prophet ﷺ, he was the Messenger of Allah. He was the ruler of the state. He was the head of the army. And yet still, he was a human being who was normal and relaxed. And he used to be kind with in his relations with his family. And this is our example also. Also, the saying of Allah, we should keep in mind the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 21, that if we read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see how he dealt with his wives, particularly because we're talking about marital rights, but also how he dealt with his family, how he dealt with other people in the society, even outside of the Muslim society with non-Muslims, how he dealt with the people, then this character, this way of dealing, especially with the wives and with others, is an example for us that we should try to examine and know about so that we may implement it in our own relations with our wives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That definitely there is for you the most excellent example in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has been reported by Al-Bukhari in the hadith of Al-Aswad ibn Yazid radiallahu anhu. He said, "I asked Aisha radiallahu anha, ma kana nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yasna'u fil bayt." How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to act inside the house? Those things that we didn't see in private, how did he used to act? We know how he acted in the public when he came to the masjid, in the society, but how did he used to act in his home? He wanted to know, how was the Prophet ﷺ with his family? So that he can follow that example. And also we want to know, so that we may follow that example. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كَانَ فِي مِحْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ فَإِذَا سَمِعَ الْأَذَانِ خَرَجَ. يعني when he was at home, he used to be in the service of his family. Not like some people think, in certain Muslim societies, that the woman is the slave or the servant of the man, but actually it should be reciprocal, that there's an exchange, that both should cooperate and help and support and try to please one another. According to the laws of Islam and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said that when he was in his home, he used to be in the service of his family. He used to serve them. But if he heard the adhan, he used to go out. Yeah, and he was in service of the family when he was in his home, but if the call to the prayer came, he used to leave and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also reported by Aisha radiallahu anha in a hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari that she used to be playing with her dolls and when, or with her friends, young girls, and when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to her, he used to encourage them to play with her. And in some of the narrations it said that when he used to come to her, the girls used to run and flee out of awe of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to encourage them to come back and to play with her. And this shows the relationship and the sensitivity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a man should have with his wife. Of course, Aisha was a young girl at that time, and she had any friends, little girls, and they used to play, and he used to encourage them to play with her. It has also been reported in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that is narrated in the Sahih of Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَفْرَقْ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنَةً إِنْ كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقًا رَضِيَ مِنْهَا رَضِيَ مِنْهَا آخر. That the believing man should never hate or dislike or be disgusted with or angry with the believing woman. If there's something that he dislikes in her character, then there will also be something else that will be pleasing to him. Again, this hadith reminds us of the balance that a person should have in their marriage relationship, that the man, though he is the leader of the family, the head of the household, he should always keep the balance and not go overboard in looking at the faults or shortcomings of his wife, but he should be reminded that if there's something that he dislikes in her, where she has fallen short in, then he should think about also those characteristics or those qualities that are pleasing. Here, some of the scholars said that the meaning لَا يَفْرَقْ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنَةً, that it means that he should not become so angry with her to the extent that it causes him to separate from her. And if there's something that he finds displeasing, he should keep it under control and not let it get out of control. How does he keep it under control? By looking at those things in her character that are pleasing to him. Otherwise, if he looks at the shortcomings only, it may go beyond bounds, and this will be the cause of him separating from her, that is, divorcing her. Some of the scholars said that it is not proper that a man should become so upset or angry or disgusted with his wife because of her shortcomings, but he should forgive her shortcomings or her evil actions or sinful behavior or disobedience. He should forgive it in light of her good behavior or her good deeds and acts of obedience. Also, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which informs us not only of the importance of good character, but particularly good character in our relations with our wives, in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا." أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا. The most perfect of the believers in iman, in faith, the most complete mu'min in their iman is the one who has the best character. And this is in general, but here the Prophet ﷺ closed the statement by saying, وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ, that the best of you are those who are best to their wives in character, خُلُقًا. يعني, to make us to know that good character is a sign of iman in general, but specifically one's good character or good relations with one's wife is a sign of one's completeness of iman. And finally, let us be reminded of the nature of the women, which often cause those who don't reflect on such, or who forget or are unmindful of the nature in which Allah has created them, we sometimes are forced to become angry and upset, and we might say things or we might do things that will cause the splitting of our relationship and separation from our wives due to something that they have no control over, yani the nature that Allah has created them in. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us of the nature of the women in the hadith that is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And that hadith is also narrated to us by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ دِلْعٍ, that the woman has been created from a rib. And some contemporary Muslim scholars who tried to equate men and women as being equal, they denied such, and they said, as I read in one explanation of the Quran in English, and in some books by some contemporary scholars in America and in Canada, they said that this is only a Bible story. But here in an authentic hadith, in the most authentic of hadith, it has been agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ دِلْعٍ, that the woman has been created from a rib. لَن تَسْتَقِيمَ لَكَ عَلَى طَرِيقَةٍ, and she will never be straightened in any way. Yani it will never happen that she will be straightened. فَإِنْ اسْتَمْتَعَتَ بِهَا اسْتَمْتَعَتَ بِهَا وَبِهَا عِوَجْ, but if you want to enjoy her, then you must enjoy her as she is, in her crooked shape, the way that Allah has created her, the nature in which Allah has created her. وَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهَا كَسَرْتَهَا وَكَسْرُهَا طَلَاقُهَا, but if you try to change her nature, if you try to straighten her out, she's been created from a rib, that means this is an indication about something about the nature of the woman, that her nature is not completely straight. And if you try to straighten it, if you try to change it, then you will break it. And if breaking it means to divorce her. And if a man wants to keep his marriage relationship, he must understand that the nature of the woman is the way Allah created her. And there's nothing that she can do about it, nor nothing that he can do about it. You must just accept her as she is, enjoy her as she is, and keep her in marriage. Some of the scholars said that the woman is created from a rib. They said that this supports that which has been reported by many of the scholars of tafsir, saying that Hawa, the wife of Adam alayhi salam, that she was created from the last of his ribs. And the meaning of created from a rib means that she was brought out from it, and she was extracted from it. And also here, some of the scholars said the meaning min dila, it means that she is like or similar to a rib, yani in that the rib physically is crooked and the nature of the woman has some characteristic in it that you are inclined to try to straighten, but it cannot be straightened. It is the nature of the woman, the way that Allah has created them. And also a similar narration of this same hadith that was reported in Al-Bukhari, in which Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا, that I advise you to treat the women well. Take my advice, my wasiyah, to treat the women well. And then he went on to say the same, that the woman is created from a rib. Here in this hadith he said, وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ شَيْءٍ فِي الدِّلْعَ أَعْلَاهُ, and the most crooked part of the rib is the upper part of it. The most crooked part of the rib, the part that you want to straighten out, is the upper part of it. The upper part. And in the upper part, according to some of the scholars, like Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, they said in the upper part is her tongue. Sometimes she may talk to you in a way that's very displeasing, and it upsets you. But that's the way that the woman was created. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said concerning this hadith, وَاسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا, that it means that you should go forward without hesitation and take my advice, my wasiyah, concerning the women, the advice of the Prophet ﷺ concerning the women. Know the nature of the woman, t- take my advice, wastawsu bin nisa'i khayran, treat them well. That means act towards them in a good way. Fasbiru alayhinna, and be patient with them. When they act in a way that's according to their nature, not willful and intentional disobedience to Allah, but the way that a woman acts, don't become upset. Fasbiru alayhinna, be patient with them. Warafaqu bihinna, and be kind and easy with them. Don't be harsh and rough. The woman is delicate. The Prophet ﷺ ordered us to be kind and treat them well. And this means be patient with them, be kind to them. وَأَحْسِنُوا إِلَيْهِنَّ, and treat them well. So no one should be too harsh and take every little fault that, or every little defect or every displeasing characteristic of the woman and make it into a big thing. But they should try to sometimes overlook some of her faults, to ignore it, or act as though you don't see it, so that not every little point you are picking on her and treating her so harshly that it becomes too overwhelming. This doesn't mean, in terms of the rights of Allah, if she doesn't perform her prayers or she doesn't fulfill obligations that are due to Allah, that's different. But we are talking about in her obligations to you, that the man should be considerate and try to overlook some of her faults or shortcomings and look at her good qualities and keep things in balance. Knowing this, we are encouraged to be patient and to be kind and to be considerate and to keep the matter in its proper perspective. And it has been reported concerning this matter that some of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ used to speak back to him. If he said something to them, sometimes they would say something back to him. And the Prophet ﷺ used to bear it patiently. He used to bear it patiently. And so it happened that the wife of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu spoke back to him one day. And he said, "Do you dare speak back to me?" She said to him, "Inna azwaj Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuraji'nahu wa huwa khayrun mink." She told him that the wives of the Messenger of Allah, they do so, and he's better than you. So if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our example, and he tolerated patiently the shortcomings of his wives, then so also we are expected to do so. And we should be remembered that the woman is a valuable partner in this life. And the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith reported by Imam Muslim, "Ad-dunya mata'un wa khayru mata'i ad-dunya al-mar'atu as-saliha." That this world, it is something beneficial, mata'un. It is something that you benefit from, and the best of the beneficial or useful things in this world is a righteous woman. So keep this in mind. If you have a Muslim wife, then what better can you ask for? And if she is obedient to Allah and trying to worship Allah and live the life of a Muslim woman, then we should know this is the most valuable thing in this world. We should guard it, protect it, preserve it, be patient with her, be kind to her, treat her well. And whatever we expect from her, we should also reciprocate and offer to her the same. Another of the rights of the women that is very important, right? And inshallah, it's not so applicable to you and I, but it is a problem. It is a right of the women that has been forgotten in this day and time, and in some societies, unfortunately, it is a very serious problem, and it is the right for her not to be beaten, to be beaten up, to be brutalized by her husband. Not only in the Western societies, but also in the Muslim societies, particularly in some countries, as I have heard, it is very, very serious that the women are beaten like slaves whenever they feel like beating them. One of the rights that the women have from her husband is that he shouldn't beat her, except in the case of disobedience or rebellion.
except in the case that she deserves to be corrected and it requires for her to be hit after the procedures have been followed that have been laid out in the Quran and Sunnah. Yani if she is disobedient to him and she rebels against him and disrespects him, then he might hit her or strike her lightly, not in a way to break her bones or to bruise her, but only to remind her of her disobedience and to bring her back to her senses, to correct her behavior. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, لا تضربوا إماء الله. Don't strike the slave women of Allah, the slaves of Allah, the women, servants of Allah. لا تضربوا إماء الله. Don't strike them. And especially hitting them in the face. As reported in another hadith that's in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and the Sunan of Ibn Majah and Abu Dawud and the Mustadrak of Hakim on the authority of Muawiyah ibn Hayda radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا should be handled in such a way that the first thing that one resorts to for correction is not beating her or hitting her. But this striking her lightly should only be resorted to after first warning her and reminding her and speaking to her in such a way to try to correct her behavior. And secondly, by separating from her. Separating from her in the home. And this is based on the ayah in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 34, وَالَّاتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ, that the women who you fear rebellion or disobedience from them, يعني their behavior is out of control, فَعِذُوهُنَّ وَحْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. يعني in that case, you should first warn them, speak to them, remind them, advise them. Then you may separate from them in the bed, يعني separate from them in the bed, not leaving the house or putting them out of the house or sending them back to their family. Then after that, if that doesn't work, you may beat them. And Allah says, closing this ayah, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. But if they then return to obedience after you warn them or advise them or separated from them in the bed or whatever, then don't seek a way against them. Don't continue to punish them. But in that case, you should accept that they have returned to obedience and they have corrected themselves. You should accept such. And then Allah reminds us that verily, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا, that Allah is the Most High. He is high and He is kabir, great. Here Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in the tafsir of this ayah, he says that those women who you fear from them or expect or have seen from them rebellion or disobedience to their husbands, then in that case, the person, the man is expected first to advise them and warn them in order to make them fear the punishment of Allah. Ya'ani, the man should remind her of her obligation to obey him, that this is something that Allah has ordered her to do, that Allah has placed him as the husband, as the father, as the head of the household, and Allah commands and expects that she obey him. And if she is disobedient to him, then this is disobedience to Allah, and she should fear the punishment of Allah. Yani he should remind her, remind her of his own punishment, that if you don't obey me, I'll knock you down. But if you don't obey me, you'll be displeasing to Allah. And if Allah is displeased with you, Allah may punish you. This is what Allah instructs us to do in our relations with our wives, if they are disobedient to us. Remind them of that their disobedience to their husband is displeasing to Allah, and it might earn for them the punishment of Allah. But if this warning and advice and reminder doesn't correct them, and they continue in disobedience to their husband, and they continue in their incorrect or unacceptable behavior, then in that case he may separate from her in the bed. And this is based on the saying of Allah, وَحْجِرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَارِجِ. then you should separate from them in the beds. And here Ibn Kathir mentions the saying of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said that separating from them in the bed, it means to not have marital relations with them. Yani, don't sleep with them in the bed. Instead, you should turn your back to her. And some of them even added here that the meaning here is not to speak with them in that condition while they are in disobedience to you. But we also should be reminded that this separation should be separation in the house only, and not putting her out of the house, nor leaving her and going to another place, and leaving her behind. If this also doesn't work, after advising and separating from her in the bed, but she continues in her disobedience, in that case finally Allah instructs that she might be reminded by striking her lightly, and this is mentioned in the ayat, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ, then you may strike them. Some people in America, I don't know, in other countries, if they understood it as such, but they took this as a fursa, or an opportunity, that if the woman gets out of line, that they'll straighten out. And even some of them told or advised the men, if your wife is disobedient, beat her down to the ground. Beat her down. Some Muslims talk like this. Actually, I heard a cassette tape, and one Muslim leader was telling the people like this. Allahu musta'an. It has been reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sahih of Muslim on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu in the long hadith that was reported by Imam Muslim concerning the description of the Hajj or the pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said in that hadith that one of the rights of the man over the woman is that no one should come into his house or sit in his place or in his bed that he is displeased with or he dislikes to come into his house. And then he said, for this act of disobedience from the woman, فَإِنْ فَعَلْنَا ذَلِكْ فَضْرِبُهُنَّ ضَرْبًا غَيْرُ مُبَرِّحٍ. But if they did such, if they acted in a manner of disobedience to the husband, if they did so, then you may strike them. But here the Prophet ﷺ made this ayah clear, the meaning of striking them or hitting them, it means with a darb or a strike, غَيْرُ مُبَرِّحٍ, يعني, that is not not striking them in such a way to break their bones or to bruise them or to kill them. But it means only to remind them, to correct their behavior. Here, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he says that if the woman corrects herself and obeys her husband in all that he desires from her, of those things that Allah has made lawful for him to request from her. And the things that Allah made as a right for him over her, if she obeys him in all of those things, then he has no right to harm her or to do any of these things to her. He doesn't have a right to hit her nor to separate from her. And Ibn Kathir says that Allah reminds us that we are accountable to him in such matters, that if anyone goes beyond the bounds, in the end of the ayah, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا, that Allah is high and He is great, and this is a threat to the men. This is a threat to the husbands. That if the wife is disobedient, he should first advise her. If that doesn't work, he should separate from her in the bed. If that doesn't work, he may hit her, and as the Prophet ﷺ said, in a way that doesn't harm her or kill her. And if she returns to obedience and corrects herself, then he has no لَيْسَ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا سَبِيلًا, then he has no way against her. He has no right to do anything to her. And if he goes beyond the bounds and such, then know that Allah, he is the one who is her guardian, and he is the one that will call to account the one who goes beyond the bounds. In another hadith that is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawood and the Mustadrak of Hakim, hadith of Iyash ibn Abdullah Ibn Abi Dhi'ab radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people, the men, لَا تَضْرِبُوا إِمَاءَ اللَّهِ, don't strike the women, servants or slaves of Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that the women are being disobedient, are taking advantage of their husbands. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission for the men to correct them by striking them. At that point, some of the women, due to the reaction of the men and going beyond the bounds, some of the women went to the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining about the way they were being mistreated or abused by their husbands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interceded here and he said that many of the women have come to his wives complaining about their husbands. And he said those men whom their wives have complained about in this matter for going beyond the bounds, they are not the best of you. This is also a reminder to us that we should be careful of abuse and oppression of those who are put in our care, our wives. We should fear Allah and not be unjust and know that on Yawm al-Qiyamah that we will be called to account for our actions. We shouldn't abuse the women, we shouldn't curse them, we shouldn't speak harshly to them. And especially the type of behavior that we find widespread today, the abusive behavior that is being reported in the marital relations between men and women in the Muslim societies, we should be reminded that this is not the conduct that Islam calls us to, that this is not the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not the character, this is not the example that we have been called to follow. And we should be reminded of the great hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that makes us to know that our conduct that we are called to, the good conduct and high moral standards that we are called to in our dealings with people in general are especially so. Not only should we treat other people kindly and fairly and justly, but especially we should treat those who are nearest to us, our wives, our families, and our children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith reported by Abu Hurairah said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَا صَالِحْ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَمَكَارِمْ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that verily the reason for which I have been missioned, the purpose for which I have been sent, is to complete or to perfect good character. And this good character should first and foremost be seen in our relations with our wives. Also, we are reminded that the people who will be nearest in status or in station to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah are those who are best in character. And also, we should know that good character, and that good character is particularly and it displayed or exhibited in our relations with our wives, that that good character, it is the most weighty and the most significant of actions that a person will have in their benefit on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْعَبْدَ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ, that there isn't anything, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ, there's no thing at all. And this expression in Arabic language is really very powerful. And it's not, the expression, the way the Prophet ﷺ described this, ma min shayin, it is a manner of speaking Arabic language which makes an absolute statement that there's absolutely nothing that would be more weighty, thaqeel, athqalu, fi mizan al-abd al-mu'min, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, nothing would be more weightier in your scales of good deeds when you're in need of more good deeds or weightier deeds, the most weighty thing that will be in your scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be husn al-khuluq, good character. And the best of us, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you are those who are best to your families, and I am the best of you to my family. So let us follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our relations with our wives, particularly and especially our families, and know that the rights that Allah has guaranteed for them are an obligation on us to fulfill, and on Yawm Qiyamah we'll be called to account for our fulfillment or lack of it, fulfillment of those rights that Allah has given to them, just as we expect our rights from them, and we will call for them and we will remind them that you are required to obey me, you are required to do such and such and so. Equally, we should be emphatic about giving them their rights and making them to know their rights, so that when they know their rights, we will be more accountable and we will be more responsible, and they will remind us if we forget to fulfill their rights to them. And this is, as we said, fulfilling the rights of the marriage partner is absolutely the means or the way to successful marriage, and that success is happiness in this world and the reward of Allah in the next. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, we will stop here and take any comments or questions or corrections. And inshallah, we will complete the lecture, inshallah, or this topic in the next meeting. Na'am. Should we? Is it right? Is it right that someone should leave their family for 2 years or for any long period of time for the purpose of sustenance? Well, Islamically, it's not right. One of the rights of the woman is that her husband should be with her. One of the rights of the woman is that he should live with her. Living with her. How can he treat her kindly in the marriage relationship and treat her well when he's even not there with her? Also, the marital rights are the marital relationships. The intimate marital relationships between husband and wife is a right of the woman, not only a right of the man. The men know very well that if they call their wife to them, she is supposed to respond and come to him. But also it's the right of the woman. She also has physical needs that have to be fulfilled, and that's a right that she has. How can it be fulfilled from long distance? So it is clear that it is not a good thing that should be done. If some people are forced out of necessity, really necessity, then this comes under the ruling of necessity. Yani, in Islam, there are exceptions to the general rules. And one of the means that one may make an exception to the general rule is that they fall in a case of necessity. They fall in a position where they are forced out of necessity, not desiring such, nor going beyond the limits in that thing. But in order to preserve their life, they may be forced to do something that is normally outside the law of Islam or outside the bounds or the guidelines that the Quran and Sunnah has given for us. In that case, the person is in an exceptional case. They might do so. But they should keep in mind that this is something outside of the normal rule. They should only do it if it is a real necessity, and they shouldn't stay away any longer than is necessary. No longer than is necessary. They shouldn't do such just to have a better life. We want to build a home. But it's not a necessity to build a home. We want to have a new car. We have an old car, but we want a new one. So I'm going to stay a few more years in order to make more money to get a better car. But it's not a necessity to have a better car. We want to have some things in this world like other people have. And the only way to do so is to go to Doha, to go to Saudi Arabia, to go to Kuwait or Bahrain, or to those places where the Muslims are going. They leave their countries and leave their families and go to those places in order to make money, usually to have a better life, the worldly things, usually. But if someone is really in the case of necessity, where there's no work for them in their society, in their country, lawful, and they go from their country to another country to earn lawful sustenance, for the time that it is a necessity in order for them to have the things that are necessary to live and not go beyond that, then inshallah they are under the ruling of necessity and there's no blame on them. But whoever sincerely fears Allah and knows that they can live without leaving their family behind, going to that place, they should not go there. There's no right for them to do so, just to have worldly things. Because the right of the woman that he has to fulfill for her is takes precedence over the desire to have better things in this world. That's a desire to have some things, but this is a right that you are obligated in front of Allah to fulfill, and whoever fell short in such on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will be asked about it. How will they respond? This is one of the things that lead to many problems in marriage, and it also sometimes lead to infidelity in the marriage relationship. Because the nature of the human being, the man and woman, is that if there's no marriage partner to be together with, when that desire or that need arises, then it may be fulfilled in unlawful ways. And this is a dangerous thing that is widespread in the Muslim world today, and it is not really in accordance with the spirit or the law of Islam. And in fact, if anyone left their country for such, it is better that they take their family with them, if there's any way. And the government in those countries that allow people to come and work should allow them to bring their families, even if it is difficult and it is hard. Because to leave their families lead to so many problems. The children are raised without a father, the woman doesn't have a husband, there's no one to protect them or to look over them, to guide them. The man is not only the maintainer in terms of sustenance, giving money, food and clothing, but also he is the guide and he is the protector of the woman. And if he is not there, how can he fulfill also these rights? The man is the he is responsible for the not only the maintenance but also the protection and guidance and instruction and advice of that woman. And if he's not there, he cannot do so. It is better that he live a lesser standard, on a lesser standard in the worldly things, and be with his family, be with his wife and be with his children, than to go to some place just to earn more money. And Allah knows best. Now, all services. He used to mend his own clothing. He used to serve. He used to. Yani those the things that if you for example for us. Yani what services can the man provide for his wife? He can provide many services, and we shouldn't be so. Yani what do you call this? Chauvinistic. To think that the man cannot do things in the house that the woman is normally doing. For example, if he cannot cook, he can at least help wash the dishes. If he cannot cook, he can help clean some things in the house. He can help arrange the house. He can keep the house in order. Even those things sometimes that the man should be doing, that he himself should be doing, like fixing things in the house, we find even the man doesn't want to do that, but he leaves it for his wife to do. And if something needs to be repaired, and the woman is doing it. Not only those things which are normally considered womanly things, like washing dishes, or cooking, or washing the clothes, or cleaning the house. He may help in those things. But even more than that, those things that normally for the man, he should at least do those things in the service of his family. Also, he may serve her in any other way, just like she brings his food to him. If she is sick or tired or something, then he might also bring to her. And sometimes your wife, she is tired, maybe she worked very hard, maybe she's ill, maybe there's some problem or whatever. He cannot serve her like she serves him. Also, yes, because this service is in, this is general service. The Prophet ﷺ was in the service of his family when he was in his house. It's general. It's not specific in any one particular thing, but it's general. And we should also take it general, and the men should strive and compete with their wives to do for them equally what they want their wives to do for them. Yani, as much as you like your wife to serve you, you should also compete with her. And this is the saying of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said that just as the man likes his woman to appear before him beautifully and attractive, then also he should appear before her attractively. That means that equally, what he, the things that he seeks from her for, to please him, she also desires to be pleased. And it is reciprocal. The happy, successful marriage, and is a marriage where both parties seek to serve one another and to please one another and to help and support one another, within the bounds of the Quran and Sunnah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani whatever a man does for his wife, it's not because he's a weak man, it's because he's seeking the pleasure of Allah. And this is seeking the pleasure of Allah and following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the best example for whoever believes in Allah in the last day and remembers Allah much. What do you mean? Outside of Islam? Yani if a Muslim man marries a non-Muslim, or a Muslim woman marries a non-Muslim man? Among non-Muslims? Yani if two non-Muslims get married, is it valid? It's valid. They are not under the law of Islam. Even the Muslims who were married before Islam, when they came to Islam, they didn't renew their marriages. This is a proof that the marriage outside of Islam is valid. The Prophet ﷺ, many of his companions were married before Islam. Some of them had many wives. And it is reported authentically in a number of hadith that the Prophet ﷺ told those who had more than four wives, if they had nine wives, he told them to divorce five and keep four. If they had six wives, he told them to divorce two and keep four. That means that the marriage before Islam was legitimate, it was valid, it was accepted Islamically, and there was no need to make a new contract when they embraced Islam. Then that means the marriage contract outside of Islam is valid. It is recognized. If it is a marriage in that society recognized as a marriage, not two, like we find in the Western world today, that a man and woman, two adults consenting, as they say, they call it consenting adults. If they come together and they live together and they have sexual relations and do whatever they do, this is not considered as marriage in Islam. It's not considered as marriage in the society that they are in. But if they are Christians and they go to the church or they go to the court and get married the way the people get married in their society, then it's legitimate. And if they came to Islam, they would not have to get married again, and that's a proof that it's accepted in Islam. And Allah knows best. No, of course it wasn't in the name of Allah. If they were not Muslims, it wasn't in the name of Allah. Definitely was not. It was? The children are legitimate. How many of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were married before Islam and they had children? There are too many examples. There are so many of them. And they had children. There's no illegitimacy in that. If they were married outside of Islam, then that marriage is accepted and the children are considered legitimate. Tayyib. There are no questions from the sisters. They haven't sent any questions. Then we will dismiss for salah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.